The Lord be with you. It's All Saints Day, which means it's a day that we remember that we are part of something much larger than ourselves. For over two millennia, Christians have gathered, just like we're doing now, to worship, to sing, to pray. Over two millennia, despite all the church's failures, obstacles, persecutions, Christians still gather to worship. One of the things that we pray for you, this season of your life, is that you catch a vision of something larger than yourselves. You catch a vision of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But more than that, that you'll catch a vision of the saints. You see, one of the things that we're praying for is not that you just have this great experience here in college right now. The true success of whether what we're doing right now has any meaning is 10, 15 years from now. Whether you're still a faithful and lifelong follower of Jesus Christ. We want this to be soulful and energetic and passionate, but more than anything, we want you to have this vision for your life later on when it's really going to count. How do we do that? How do you develop a faith that endures? Well, I think if we go all the way back to the very beginning of the church, remember when we were in Pentecost, the very first gathering, we heard the story of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. People from all over the world are hearing God's mighty deeds in their own native language. And people are coming to know that this God loves them. God has acted on their behalf. And thousands of people that day became Christians. And it said this in Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Just that little verse, Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves. The Greek word is proskatereto. Yeah, I don't know if I said that right, but if you say Greek words really fast, people think you're really smart. And it literally means to be strong towards, to endure, to persevere, to do something with intense effort despite difficulty. How does the church endure from generation to generation? They devote themselves. They make the Christian faith something that is worth intense effort, even at great difficulty. They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devote themselves to fellowship. They devote themselves to the breaking of bread. They devote themselves to the prayers. This is the recipe of how Christians mature and deepen so that they might enlarge, so that their lives might spiral towards the heavens, so that it might bear a canopy that will produce the right fruit in season, fruit like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. It's not always about an emotional rush. The Christian faith is not sustained on adrenaline. It's sustained by acts of devotion, intense will every single day with your mind. To love the Lord with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength in your mind. The church is sustained by those who devote themselves. Now, I could stand here and give this great sermon on what it means to devote yourselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread. But it's All Saints Day. We got friends from Freedom Village right down the road. And so rather than me standing up here talking about something, I thought rather than telling you, it would be better to show you. So I've invited two friends whose life is a testimony to Acts 2:42, people who have devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Hope College, would you give a warm welcome to Hope alum, Harvey and Margaret Dornbos? Yes. So we're just going to have a little conversation here, if that's all right. Margaret and Harvey, welcome back to Hope College.
Thank you.
You are alumni.
Yes.
We are.
You are. What year did you graduate? 55? 56. 55, 56. You went with the younger man. It's nice. Now, Margaret, I got to ask you, this was Parents Weekend, it was Nykirk Weekend. Were you involved in Nykirk?
No.
Yes, when I was a freshman here.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh. Sophomore too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you?
We had to be.
You had to be.
Yes.
It was a rule.
Right.
Did you win?
I don't remember.
which is good. The Saints, they don't remember all these things, the competitions. They're good. Just grace is large. Just remember that. So what was Hope College like in early 1950s?
It was one-fourth the size of today's college. When we had the chapel, everybody had to come to chapel, and the chapel was pretty well filled with 800 students. And so we're glad to see the chapel filled again today with more than 800.
Do you have any outstanding memory, Margaret, from Hope College when you were a student?
No. It was so wonderful.
It was all so wonderful. You can't, there's not one memory.
But I've carried with me a memory from Hope College.
Yeah, there we go.
All my life.
That's nice. Good save. Yeah. Well, what did you both study when you were
I was
here?
A mathematics major.
Mathematics major. And Harvey?
I was a pre-med student.
Pre-med student. And yep. you went on to medical school?
I went on to Northwestern Medical School in Chicago.
And then after medical school, after Hope College, the two of you married, and then you had a call in your life. Tell us a little bit about that call.
Well, I think it began when I was a child, 2 or 3 years old. My parents were very strong Christian people, and we read the Bible every day, morning, noon, and night at mealtime. Hmm. And I don't remember a time that I didn't believe. And as I was growing up through grade school, my parents sometimes entertained missionaries. And I think that started an interest in being a missionary. And when I went into high school, I attended a summer conference with the church, and I committed myself to do whatever God called me to do. I didn't know what that would be at that time. But as it turned out, it was to go through Hope, to go through medical school and take surgical training, and then the Reformed Church Board was quite ready to offer me a position in Arabia.
So you spent your career as a physician in the Arabian Peninsula?
Not all in Arabia. We were 10 years in Arabia, then we were transferred to Ethiopia.
And how long were you in Ethiopia?
We were 25 years under the Reformed Church there, and then we went back a few times so that we spent 10, 11 more years in the mission fields of Africa.
So over 40 years
yes.
of mission service
yes.
as a physician.
Yes. Wonderful life.
Beautiful.
I challenge everybody to accept that kind of a option. It's wonderful.
Well, you go tell her. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And this is a question for both of you. What teaching, what apostles' teaching, what scripture has really sustained you and shaped you all these years of that faithful service?
The scripture that I remember saying almost daily, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths.
How did that shape you? What did that verse mean for you as you lived into that?
Well, I didn't know where I was going. And to just trust that, you know, there'd be food there and a house there and whatever, wherever we went. And it was always so.
It was always so. How about you, Harvey?
A verse that I chose early in my life as a theme was 1 Corinthians 15:58. And I learned it in the old King James Version. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And that encouraged me when there was doubts that, is this the right thing to do? I trust in the Lord, and the work that we were doing did not become in vain, because the Lord really blessed the mission work in Arabia and in Ethiopia.
They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and they devoted themselves to fellowship. You had over 40 years of faithful service in different parts of the world, and yet you had fellowship together through and all that time. How long have you been married? How many years of...
57.
57 years. Now, I'm going to speak on their behalf. There's a lot of young people out here tonight. They have the deep hope that they could look back at another end of their life and have 57 years of faithful marriage. Right now, they're just, some of them are just, there's some brothers out there just hoping they can get a date. Here's some sisters out there that hoping that, like, the brother will ask her out. Go ahead.
For either the boys or the girls, I would encourage them to search right now here.
Well, that's a different chapel, Harvey. That's what? Fifty-seven years of fellowship, of friendship, of marriage, a family, of service together. What has been some of the, what has sustained your fellowship? What's been some of the secret behind your life together all these years?
It is a commitment. And you don't walk out on a commitment you've made to God and to your partner. You work at it.
They devoted themselves.
Yes.
One thing that I think helped us is that we take a hymn book and read through it day by day, the next song in the hymn book, singing it for our beginning of the meal. Mm-hmm. We love to sing, and we love the music in the hymn books. And as we've sung tonight, now they're very precious to us.
Mm. When you sing, you pray twice. So part of what you've incorporated in your life together are the songs of the faith that have. Mm-hmm. When you lived overseas, would you sing in your native language of English, or would you sing in the languages you had to learn?
Mostly English, but we did learn some local songs that were very precious to us, and we still sing occasionally some of the Arabic songs that we learned.
Do you have a favorite Arabic song?
What is it? I've forgotten.
That's...
Yes.
Margaret, you're awesome.
Do you want me to sing it?
Yeah, if you've got one. Would we like her to sing it? Yeah.
Yuhibni Allah wa waladhi min hubihi yumnahunil haya. He loves me, he loves me.
Nice. Beautiful. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship. And they devoted themselves to prayer. As you think on behalf of this generation, of these college students right now, how would you pray for them? What prayer of blessing would you offer them tonight?
We have a son in university and grandson in high school, and I pray for them what I'd like to pray for the students here too, that they come to know God personally in Jesus Christ, and that they, as you say, devote themselves. I use the expression discipline themselves to study Scripture, to study the lives of other Christians, to read books about them, and to learn how they served God. It's an encouragement to us when we face things to remember that other people face the same kinds of problems, and God saw them through it. And that's what we have learned. God has seen us through every difficulty that came into our lives. And so I pray that the students discipline themselves to use every opportunity to grow mentally, spiritually, physically, and discipline themselves in the best of habits.
Praying that.
I pray that they would develop trust. They've asked their parents their advice, and often they said, okay, Dad, okay, Mom, I'll do that. Well, now they've got a vast amount of parents here, teachers and staff, who are ready and willing to share with them. And you've got to build trust upon trust every day. Read the Bible every day. Because it's there that you understand, through all those pages of the Bible, there were people that trusted God. Abraham didn't know where he was going, but he trusted. You may never know what you're going to do next, but God does. And develop trust. You won't be let down if you're listening to God.
Beautiful. In just a minute, we're going to practice devoting ourselves to the breaking of bread. We're going to come to the table, and we're going to be nourished by the life of Jesus. While we're receiving communion, we're going to sing a hymn that means a lot to both of you. We're going to sing Children of the Heavenly Father. Can you tell us a little bit about that hymn and why it means so much for you?
We were in Ethiopia. It was communistic, but it was the time the communism fell. And after 16 years, we were free of communism. But at that time, of course, then there was a revolution so that someone else could take leadership. And after we got many people safely out of the bush and into their home countries, we got a telephone message that our son had died in Colorado. And he died in a motorcycle accident. There was no way we could get out. But that hymn, I discovered it in the hymn book as I sat playing the piano, hymn by hymn by hymn. I discovered that one. Children of the Heavenly Father safely in his bosom gather. And it just made the situation, okay, Lord, Okay. Trust.
Trust. Well, tonight we're going to sing that hymn, and we're going to sing it with you. And all of our voices will join together. It's All Saints Day. And the saints devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They devote themselves as a people together. Before we go to the table, I want to invite us to do one of the things we always do here at the gathering is say what Christians believe. Tonight we're going to recite the Nicene Creed, one of the oldest confessions in all of the church. And this is one of the things that Christians have devoted themselves to, this teaching. And so as we gather together tonight, we're mindful that it's not just us. The great cloud of witnesses is around us, and we join ourselves with Christians in Ethiopia, with Christians in Russia, with Christians in China, with Christians at every time and place. And when we say these words, we join them, and we find ourselves part of something much larger than ourselves. So if you are able tonight, I invite you to stand. And together, let us say what we believe. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father for all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Amen. Friends, would you please join me in thanking our friends, Harvey and Margaret.